Hey, good afternoon, folks. This is Barry Alexander. I wanted to welcome you and my colleague, Harry Spiridis, to the Barry and Harry show, otherwise known as Outside the Beltway of Healthcare. Thank you, Harry.
Terrific. And you're outside the Beltway and I'm inside the Beltway.
We're calling it
outside the Beltway.
So you are absolutely more knowledgeable than I am. We understand that.
And no, I am the swamp. No, I'm just the swamp, Barry. But it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. I've accepted it and I embrace it. So that's where we are right now.
You do know how Washington, D.C. was created from a land perspective, correct?
Yeah, it was a swamp,
Harry.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was actually annexed from the state of Maryland. Maryland didn't want it because it was just big swampland.
Yeah, so Virginia gave a little slice too.
Right. But Maryland still owns all of the Potomac River. So in Virginia, once you set foot in the Potomac River, you are actually in the state of Maryland.
Hmm. I didn't know that from somebody who was on the other side of the Cap'n John Bridge from years.
Well, that's why we have the river there, Barry. We have the river as a barrier from all of you folks over in Virginia.
Yeah, I've heard that many times before. We were never allowed to cross into Rockville, Maryland. But I want to thank you all for joining us. Harry is in our Washington, D.C. office. Again, he is anointed with all knowledge. I am from the Washington, D.C. area, obviously from the Virginia side of the Cap'n John Bridge, and live in Raleigh, North Carolina. And we're going to embark on a mission quest for those of you who've joined us and are brave enough to keep listening on talking about healthcare policy, I think from both inside the Beltway perspective and then outside the Beltway, which is where the rest of us live in the real world, Harry. But you know what? If you don't mind, I thought today I would introduce you and tell everybody a little story about you that perhaps folks may not know.
And what would that be?
Well, for those of you who have had the privilege of dining at the Palm Restaurant in Washington, D.C., you will notice that there are many, many caricatures on the wall. And I just wanted to let you know, should you decide, you will find not one, but two caricatures of my good friend, Harry. In the Washington, D.C. Palm.
It is true. And it is, you got 30-year-old Harry on the wall and you've got 50-year-old Harry on the wall. And whenever my wife and I go to the Palm to have dinner, she always asks if she could go home with the 30-year-old Harry that's on the wall. So you're absolutely right. There's two of both me and my wife, by the way. It's both of us. It's not just me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exciting. So that's a little tidbit. And the good thing is, I don't think you have anything on me from.
Well, no, you know, Barry, here's the thing about you. No. You, my friend, are the Renaissance man. You really are. I mean, you know, not what people don't realize about Barry Alexander is that he's multifaceted, multi-talented, not only a great lawyer, but musician, filmmaker. One thing that I think people don't know about you, Barry, is that we had a longtime critic here in the DC area, a guy named Arch Campbell, who was on NBC. No. And Arch Campbell used to have this homegrown movie contest. Was it homegrown movie? Is that what it was? And what people need to know is, not only did you win that contest that Arch Campbell, this longtime well-known critic here in DC, would have on NBC News, not only did you win it once, you won it twice, back to back, consecutive. And I guess my question is, you went from filmmaker to lawyer. What happened? I mean, what happened?
Well, Harry, I don't know where you dredged that one out of the swamp, but I'm very proud of you for your research. And like many former thespians, we decided at some point in time we would never make it in an acting career. And so there was no other option. So we became a lawyer.
Barry, I get it. I was an art major in college. And when I was in my painting class, my painting professor, Dr. Paul Edwards, who I love very much, he's passed away. He looked at me and he said, "You're not planning on doing this for a living, are you?" And that changed everything for me. And it was illuminating. So I get it.
Well,
but you won that contest back to back. That's talent.
Well, again, I'm not sure where you dredge that up, but I'm very proud of you today for your infinite wisdom. And I tell you, it has been, it has been an incredibly interesting few weeks in Washington, D.C., with Afghanistan and many other things, COVID. And folks, what we hope to do as you join us together is to try and demystify a little bit about what's going on in Washington, D.C., where things may go. Maybe we'll throw in a little bit of how things may happen next year with midterms. But some of the topics we're going to work our way through will include everything from infrastructure, not just infrastructure generally, infrastructure and healthcare. There are some unique opportunities that we're looking at, Harry, that could expand the Medicare benefit package very significantly since what we saw in 67, really very, very significant. And just another bunch of floating pieces. And what I said for our initial call, Harry, and again, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I think a couple of things that we want to just lay some foundation on here because it's going to play itself out, I think, a lot, Harry. Let's talk about the process that we see going on in D.C. right now. We've got an infrastructure bill. Maybe we have a budget bill. And does Medicare get packed into it in any way? And then I think also maybe if time permits, we'll talk about MACRA just a little bit. So what's the landscape right now?
Well, the landscape is that the Senate passed its bipartisan infrastructure package, and they've sent that to the House. Now, the House hasn't sent it back over to the Senate. I believe that that package is going to remain intact, and it will be approved, and it will go to the president's desk eventually. I think the Speaker of the House is holding it. She wants to do everything in one package. There's also the Senate has done a budget resolution. The House also did a budget resolution when they came back here in August to do it. And the committees now of jurisdiction or have been tasked to come up with their reconciliation packages. Now, I know that the Speaker has a deadline on her committees to get these budget packages done by the 15th of September. Her plan is to get this out of the House and over to the Senate by last week of September or first week of October. Oddly enough, I've had conversation with both the Speaker's office and the Majority Leader's office in the Senate. Both are saying something different. The Speaker's office is saying that they want to get their reconciliation package onto the House floor and over to the Senate by the first week of October or last week of September. However, the Senate is a little different in the sense that they're saying that the leader's office, one of the people in the leader's office indicated that this could get done probably by the end of the year, meaning the 31st of December. So on different timelines. Now, both houses are playing with very slim majorities, right? So you've got a 50-50 Senate, which makes things a little bit interesting. But the Speaker in the House only has about three seats to play with here in terms of votes. So this is a very, this is very difficult. And to get a package like this, $3.5 trillion in a budget reconciliation package, which would include expanding Medicare benefits, it's a huge task. And, you know, I think both the Senate and the House are operating as though they have large majorities when they don't. They don't have big majorities. So this is going to be a very interesting process to watch.
Yeah, the budget reconciliation process, I think, is like a mystery to a bunch of us that live outside the Beltway. You know, we hear terms like filibuster and budget reconciliation, and then we've got the normal legislative process. And we'll probably, as we kind of go through this with your brilliance again, you know, we'll try and figure out a little bit of like how that could play out. It looks like the $1 trillion bill does not need to go and probably is not on a trajectory for budget reconciliation.
No, is that, it's not.
Yeah,
you're right. The infrastructure bill is going to be separate. And I do believe it'll end up on the president's desk. The budget reconciliation package is going to be a little bit dicey. And I don't believe at the end of the day, and look, I could be wrong, but I would be, I don't know if it'll actually be $3.5 trillion. I do think it's going to get shaved down. And mind you that the senator from Arizona, Kyrsten Sinema, has already balked at the number. So they're going to have to do something to reestablish or you know, redefine the parameters of that bill. The other issue too is that Speaker Pelosi has got about 10 members that have already, 9 members that have sent her a letter, but 10 members now that have already kind of voiced some moderate opposition to moving forward on this. I do think that the Afghanistan situation and how things were handled in Afghanistan might also be a play on the political side of this package. So at the end of the day, like I said, I don't think that it's going to be as large of a spending package as currently being discussed. I think it will get pared down.
Well, a couple of things that are hanging out there on the Medicare front. I'm sure most of the folks who are listening, but if not, I mean, Medicare was originally just a hospital-based benefit, and then physician services were added. Mm-hmm. What you look at of the tapestry over the Medicare history is that little buckets of things have been added over the years, but I'm sure, guys, if you're listening, you know, if you have elderly parents, their hearing aids aren't covered. Their glasses are not covered. They could get cataract procedures, but they can't get glasses. Although some Medicare Advantage plans will cover it, and they definitely can't get dental services. Those are excluded benefits, which is so different than the rest of us. You know, we go to our full healthcare benefit package, and you know, kind of like Harry, you know, imagine the firm turned to us and said, "I'm sorry, no dental and no glass benefits, but that is Medicare." So there's been a lot of talk about expanding the benefit package. Is that realistic that we'll see that this year in budget reconciliation, or is that maybe kick the can?
No, I think it's going to happen in some way, shape, or form. Both the speaker, the majority leader, have indicated that they would like to see the benefits expanded. As you stated in the original 1965 Act, hearing, dental, and vision were expressly prohibited in Medicare. They're not covered. But right now, I mean, there is a move to cover these areas. Now, I can tell you right now, this is not coming without some opposition and tepid opposition, but opposition nonetheless. I know that the Medicare Advantage plans right now are extremely concerned with how this is going to affect them in terms of, you know, these areas being now covered under Medicare, under you know, Medicare services. So I know that there is some debate going on right now on how this is all gonna move forward and how it's gonna pan out. The cost is an issue, obviously. And I know that right now, you know, all money is on the table in terms of how do you pay for this?
Yeah, and it's not the way I see things under Part D. It's not an overnight program that can be implemented. Definitely can't be implemented this year because the plans have already submitted their bids for 2022 calendar year. So it seems really impossible, even if legislation was passed that Medicare beneficiaries are going to in June get a notice and say, "Congratulations, you've got dental and hearing and full optometric benefits this year." So it's still going to be a rollout process. And I think, and we're gonna break this down, Harry, because I think what we'll do is we'll break down the dental. We've got a lot of folks that are very interested on dental. We're gonna take a look at that language, and we're gonna see how much guidance and direction Congress will give to the agency for pricing of services versus discretionary. I mean, for those of you who follow reimbursement, the Medicare physician fee schedule has been a long, long drawn out process to kind of develop the components of those fees. And it feels a little bit like, Harry, that, you know, even if Congress says, you know, jump start go, there is a big process that the agency will have to work through to actually figure out how do they cover and pay for, you know, normal cavities, dental X-rays, and then dental implants. I mean, there's a bunch of work that has to be done. I guess one of the options, but I haven't seen this, Harry, is that it would be exclusively in a separate benefit package, you know, like we did with drugs, you know, rolling it into Part D. But it seems like from what I'm seeing, this is going to be a B benefit, Part B benefit that then will get picked up by the MA plans for the beneficiaries that choose it.
Well, it's hard to answer that question, Barry, considering that they're building the airplane as it's flying right now.
What a surprise.
You know, I think they're just strapping the engines on right now. But here's the thing, you know, with dental is... you know, what limitations are going to be there? What will Medicare cover and what will Medicare not cover? These are the unanswered questions right now. The other thing too is that I've heard talk, and I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but I've heard some talk about making this a three-year benefit, right? So you open up the door to dental, hearing, vision for 3 years, which would mean that every 3 years, Congress is going to have to reauthorize the program. Now, you ask, why would they do that? Well, they would do that because then the CBO, which is the Congressional Budget Office, which is the, you know, what decides how much money things are going to cost, they look at it on a 10-year basis. If you make it a three-year sunset, you know, or you have to reauthorize every 3 years, CBO can't score the way it's supposed to score. So it's a gimmick. It's a trick in terms of making the price tag lower.
Can I
get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, you have to beat me over the head, but can I ask the question, why would they do that?
Again, to keep the score low. Because when you put this bill out there and you say how much it's going to cost, the number is going to be lower if you make it 3 years instead of making it, you know, forever, right? So That's what it's just a budget trick. That's all it is.
I think the point, I think the thing you raised also, which is really interesting, I'm kind of, you know, putting aside the thespian past, I'm kind of a reimbursement nerd, but that's just between the two of us and not for everyone who's listening. Oops. Medicare program, I don't know if everybody realized, only added wellness examinations. I didn't print the date in front of me, but it was in the last 15 to 20 years. Right. You couldn't even go for a physical. And then finally we got the magical benefit of a annual wellness examination. And I wonder and be a little bit concerned about whether the benefit package rolls through. And then the unknown question is, well, can you go get your teeth cleaned four times a year? Or can you only go get one time a year?
Well, that's the question. We don't know. We don't know what the limitations are going to be on the benefit, which would require then the MA plans, right? Because then if you have an MA plan, then you have, you know, six cleanings a year instead of four cleanings a year, right? I think that's what we're seeing going on right now in terms of how this is all going to shake out at the end of the day. Let me just add something too. I want to be very clear on the three-year track that I talked about in terms of the budget gimmick. This is done in both Republicans in the majority as well as Democrats in the majority. They all do this. So I'm not, I don't want anybody to think that I'm casting.
No, that's true.
Any kind of die on there on one particular party that's controlling the House or not. Both parties do this. They all try to find ways or gimmicks in terms of lowering the score that they've got to deal with.
Right, and we all know that the reality is, once these benefits are launched, and you get millions of Medicare beneficiaries getting glasses, their teeth clean, their hearing aids, you can't pull that benefit away. It's at that point in time, it's just a question of how to continue to fund it as part of the Medicare program. So yeah, no, I completely get it. But I think these are things we're going to bust apart, Harry. Because what I want to do is I want to see some of the scoring. We're going to talk about the scoring issues. We have just a ton of stuff going on in Washington, D.C. right now.
Well, we do. And you know, for healthcare clients and the like, it's not just healthcare. I mean, energy and environment, it's the whole gamut. There's a lot going on right now. And I would encourage folks to not only watch the process, but if you can be part of the process. I mean, you know, everybody's got a member of Congress, everybody's got a U.S. Senator. Reach out to these folks, let them know what you think. It's important. It really is.
Yeah, it's very important. And I also have on my bucket list a little bit of going back, maybe even discussing Hill Burton. I'm interested to see in some of the infrastructure with changes in society, whether we'll see more money in the hospital space. A lot of our clients are right. Concerned whether it's going to be back to the future, how that will play out. I know we got MACRA coming up.
And, MACRA reauthorization will be in the next Congress. That's right. And that's really important for a lot of folks out there in terms of how they're going to structure that and how, you know, what benefits, how they're going to code, et cetera. That's really important.
You know, what I'm most excited about the podcast, Harry, is the ability to go dine at the Palm and see whether or not the picture on the wall, even the most recent one, compares to how you actually look and the prospects of a third picture on the wall.
Well, let me just tell you on the first picture of the wall, Tommy Giacomo, who was the maitre d' of the Palm, Tommy passed away, and Tommy was a legend, and I would say I'm not even going to say was a legend. He is a legend. I mean, he is still very present in all of our minds and hearts. Tommy had a very colorful way of telling me when that first picture came in. he looked at me and he said, and he had a raspy voice, and he said, "I made you look like a rock star." And it's true. But he added a word in there that I didn't use, just to let you know. But you can pretty much figure out what that word is. But it really is. I want to say it's a very good likeness, but some people would say it doesn't look anything like me.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures. I don't think either of them actually look like you. And so I definitely think that he made you look like a rock star. So, you know, on that note, folks, thanks for joining us the first time. We're going to have a whole bunch of interesting topics in reimbursement, infrastructure. We're dealing with additional things going on with COVID, vaccination, shortage of a wide variety of healthcare supplies, changes, I think possibly, Harry, in pharmaceutical reimbursement. Mm-hmm. I don't think just possible. I think we're staring down the gun on that, but we won't today. We're kind of out of time, folks, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
Can I just say one thing?
No, we're done, Harry.
I would encourage, if you're
done for today.
For those folks who are listening, don't hesitate to email us if you have any questions that you want us to answer while we're doing this. Barry is the all-knowing oracle, so he'll be able to answer any of your questions.
So I think that's a great point. You'll see it on the introductory stuff for the podcast. And mostly send your questions, though, to Harry, if you don't mind. Thanks so much, guys. Later.
We want to remind listeners that the choice of a lawyer and lobbyist is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertising. The information and discussions in this podcast do not constitute legal advice, and listeners should consult legal counsel regarding their specific subject matter. Thank you for listening to Inside Law, a podcast produced by Polsinelli.